Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights, here with Brian Great. And we had a longer session, but this is the part where I asked him to come up with some questions for me. And this is that. Thanks, sponsors, Topps Panini, Upper Deck, Heritage Auctions, Hug the Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, ComC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication. So as I said, Brian was over here, and so we were eye to eye, sitting across the table with each other. We talked about a couple of other things that have already been released. And then we just kept going. I said, Brian, perhaps you have a question for me. And knowing Brian, he's never at a loss of words. And so he had some interesting things he wanted to question, but it's kind of a dialogue. It's prolific. So even when he's asking me the question to respond, there's a lot of back and forth in there. So I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So here it is.
All right. This is exciting because you're one of my idols in the business. For real. When I grew up coming in your store, I looked up to what you guys did and how you approached business really helped mold how I thought about things. So this is really fun to be able to put you on the hot seat because your opinion has always meant so much to me, even though early on I didn't get the direct interaction. I appreciate the fact I can have that.
If I'd have been in the store when you were buying those Bird Magic,
Dr. you would have cut J, me off.
We would have put a picture on the door.
Yeah.
Limit one per month instead of one per hour,
yeah,
whatever you were.
For the
as soon as we put them out.
They put like a little plastic box of five Magic Bird Dr. J rookies up there, whatever it was, and they had them at $8. So I came in about all five. And then I think it was HL in the store, whoever it was.
It was HL.
We put five more out and mark them up to 10. Yeah. Then I'd come in and buy the five at 10. Then he'd put three more out at 12, and I'd buy them at 12. Then he put them out at 20 and I buy them at 20.
Yeah.
Finally, I quit around 30. Yeah. That's when I quit buying them. But it was just funny because, again, I'm not so much in that store.
Not funny. Not
you
funny.
Guys had great stuff. And it was like, but you're also your strategy up. Okay. You don't have to blow out all your cards. It was a great strategy.
Right. You didn't beat me. You beat one third of me because I was one third.
You couldn't be there every minute.
I didn't have a majority.
Trust me, I bought Wilson Alvarez too. That didn't occur to me.
Okay.
But so here's something interesting to me going on in the marketplace. And I got to hear from someone old school how you view this. I don't even want to say card restoration, but like card preparation for grading or for selling. We see Kurt's Card Care and these guys who like whatever substances they use to make a card really look its best. Sometimes they're dipping it and stuff. Okay, that may be different than polishing. I don't know what it is. Where is your threshold? Like when you think about trading cards versus any other asset where people have the same question, to you, what is the tolerance for what you should be able to do to a card to make it look its best and not cross the line to alteration? And then part two is there anything really wrong with alteration, even though we've got this in our mind that there is, or do we overemphasize the negative aspects of alteration or restoration?
First of all, this problem would not be as big a problem if the price differentials for a given
Amen.
Card were not so stretched out of shape from the highest to the lowest, and where do altered cards fit in that? If there was condensing of the price, that crime would not be worth it. And some of them, I think, are crimes. It's an academic discussion, Brian. We can gripe about it, but if it's not detectable, I breathed on the card.
But you saw the Wimbignano card this week where the guy got a PSA 10 on the one of one Wimbignano's worth $1 million. And then after he gets the card, while he's standing at PSA, he says, thank you, Kurt's Card Care, for making this possible. Because the guy did something to the card to make sure that it showed its best, whatever something is.
Yep.
He bragged that it had been made beautiful, however they made it beautiful.
It might be that he has Kurt's Card Care for life with that explicit endorsement that's nebulous. We don't even know what he did.
And I'm not saying I don't agree that if we can't detect it.
Okay.
Because guys have trimmed cards
PSA
for years.
But PSA said we can't detect it.
I'll be honest, they can't detect trimmers a lot of times because the card measures correctly. Like, that was a problem at Beckett early. I'll tell you, Beckett grading early, they were cutting uncut sheets. And you know what these geniuses were doing? They were cutting the cards too big. Because then grading would grade
it
them when they were too big.
Sacrifices the next door card on the
yes.
sheet.
But they would cut them too big because then Beckett would get it and it wouldn't measure, but it measured too big. So they say, oh, it's not trimmed. It just measures too big. We don't do maximum size limitation. We only do minimum size requirement. Today, I know a lot of cards that are trimmed in holders and they measure up because guys are flattening them and then cutting them or trimming them. So you're right. If we can't detect it, we can't hold grading card companies responsible.
No, we can hold grading companies responsible for not having the latest detection equipment. And to be totally up, that's one very big positive at SGC and PSA connecting is that they're going to put their heads together. And I think PSA probably has more to share than SGC does, but SGC very, very established in the pre-war. And so they put their heads together and best practices of here's what these card doctors are doing and here's how we detect it. And I'd like that to spread throughout all the card graders. And I hope my friends at BGS are sharing their knowledge because it's good for the whole industry.
For sure.
Okay. So for not just whether it's detectable, let's make more and more things detectable. So if it's not detectable, and then you hear a blatant shout out to somebody that's doing things to take care of your cards and improve them. If you were buying stock in companies, you'd be buying stock in Kurt's Card Care. They have undetectable solutions. Let's find out what they're doing and let's be able to detect it. And then let's call it. So then the last point I have is that I want to see accurate descriptions, not just this is altered or that it's just authentic. I want some description that's explicit about what we've detected here. If it's authentic because it has a pinhole that could easily be filled in, but is not, it's still going to be authentic with a pinhole, and probably you could get a 1 or 2 or 3 or something very low grade. If you fill in the pinhole, which an art restorer could easily do from the back, I want that to be caught by the grading companies. I want to make sure they catch it, and I want it to be called not just authentic, altered, but how it was altered.
Can we get rid of the word altered and call it restored? Because so many other industries, it's okay.
I don't care what you call it. I want a maximal description. If it's more, then I'd say it's a 71 Topps black bordered baseball color card that's got one dot of color.
Yeah, they had a dot on one corner.
A dot in one corner.
That's different than someone who took a Sharpie and tried to make that look black.
Yeah. And so to be more explicit like that, then you could say, you know what, if they hadn't put that dot there, it'd be an 8.5.
4.6.
It's perfect other than one corner has some white showing.
Yeah, so maybe it would have been a 6 with that corner because the corner may have shown a lot of white. But whatever it is.
A tiny bit of white.
A 6 is better than just saying the card's ruined because it's altered. And people assume it's the worst.
And so what I'm saying is if it would have been a 6 without the alteration, I don't want the alteration to make it more valuable than a 6.
But here's the question.
I want it to be less than a 6, but it doesn't have to be authentic cards are equal to 1s.
But what is okay? Like, okay, if you have a chrome card or a prison card or a leaf metal card, can you wipe off the surface with a rag? I think we both agree you can. You can take a rag and just wipe off fingerprints and stuff, sure. Right?
I've never heard this said, but I'm going to have a new theory now. And that is that you can use, and don't take this in a crude way, but you can't use non-bodily chemicals.
So you can spit on the card.
You can spit on the card.
You're okay with that?
Your spit.
You can't use your friend's spit.
Yeah.
That's the friends that spit when they talk. They would be very useful here.
They breathe on the card.
But here's the question.
They could be talking.
So you're okay. So you're okay if you spit on the card and wipe it down.
It's not H2O, but it's close to H2O.
Okay.
I'm not soaking it. Just there's a little speck there.
What about if there's a scratch and you eliminate the scratch with some, whether it's a rag or sandpaper or whatever, I don't know what people use, but with
a microfiber cloth.
Is it okay to remove a scratch?
It doesn't remove the scratch.
But let's say they are removing scratches the same way you take a scratch out of a car.
No, but that's filling it in with something. I'm against that because that's a non-bodily fluid. That's a chemical additive. Kurt has his own special stuff that you get his formula.
So without telling you where this comes from, what if a manufacturer, let's say when the player signs cards, they stack the cards, but the ink wasn't dry, so the ink gets on the back of the previous card? What if a manufacturer wipes off the back with some kind of ink remover? Is that an altered card if the manufacturer does it before it's put in the back? Because I know for a fact this has happened in the industry. I won't give examples, but I can give examples.
If it is not detectable, then what's the argument?
That you could probably detect. No one just knows to look for it because no one's looking on the back for ink removal.
The ink removal is probably done with some kind of alcohol.
Yes,
kind of
thing. Which is not bodily fluid.
And a little Q-tip or something. And it's something. Not a bodily fluid. And they should detect it. And the card manufacturer could say, we just want to let you know, grading companies, this is what was done. Or the whole world, they could tell, if they're really being transparent.
We know that's not going to happen because as a former CEO of a card company, transparency, while we like to feign transparency.
Levels of transparency.
We like to feign transparency. We don't like to be transparent.
Levels of transparency.
So here's the question. Are we making too big a deal about alteration, restoration? Because you look in the comic book industry.
It's not too big a deal when the prices are so different.
Correct.
The prices.
But we can't change how the market is irrationally priced. Again, there's no reason you can have 10 nines for the price of 1
10. We can. And it's happening. I believe the price of authentic is increasing.
It is. I'm talking about the discrepancy comes, and the reason for this wanting to repair every little tiny micro issue is that 1 10 is worth 9s. in some cases.
Exactly. That's
a problem.
That's the main problem.
There's never going to be a world where you can convince me that I wouldn't rather have
crime does
100,
pay. 100, crime does pay.
75 Derek Jeter PSA 9s. There's only a pop of 500. Yeah. 75 of those versus 110. There's no way you're going to tell me not to take 75 9s. I've been around too long. This too is going to change and pass like it always does. But the question is, should we have a separate grading scale like we do for comics? Because if you send a comic to CGC, they're going to grade it and say, you have 10 down and you have restored 10 down. And restored books, they actually offer restoration services. You can send your book to CGC and say, can you press it for me, please? The grading company will actually press the book for you, or their subsidiary will actually press the book for you. Think about the potential market if PSA will take the crease out of your card for you. Now, when we slab it afterward, we're going to slab it as a restored 9 or restored 8. Because here's the thing. Personally, and I think you're going to agree with me on this, I'm betting, a 52 mantle with bleach borders that is clean, that shows beautifully, that's got restoration on the corners and bleach borders, but it's still the original card. I think you'd pay more for that than a 3 or a 4. If it shows like a 9.
Brian, you're justifying the massive increase over the last few years in prices for quote-unquote eye appeal cards within any grade. And so authentic, altered, restored, whatever, when it presents like a high grade from arm's length, then you're going to get more than you are than a 1.
And I think that's for good reason.
But that's resolving this. So if it's the eye appeal of something that is slightly off-centered, you wouldn't take the chance to shave the fat side if you thought it was only going to increment you just a little bit. That it already is sharp corners and looks good. The risk reward is not great. I want to increase the risk by greater detection, and I want to decrease the reward. But, and then the bad guys go find something.
But collectors are getting.
But I'm fine. I'm fine with your double scale.
I think that's critical.
Here's the pop report for, because the authentic altered shouldn't all go at the far left in the box of like it's junk.
Yes.
No, I think there's some really good cards. I'd rather have nice looking cards. And I'm buying the cards.
Because guess what? We bought cards before there were holders.
Yes.
So we're going to want to buy cards even when they're in holders. Holders have been a great thing for the hobby in one sense, that it's given us some watchdog, even though they're not perfect. They've given us a watchdog to help us make good choices. Can you imagine the fraud without them today? If there were no grading companies, it would be insane the amount of fraud now.
The joke is the most famous card in the hobby, the most valuable card, possibly the Wagner. But the trimmed Wagner, card 000001 mm-hmm. from PSA, all the other Wagners sell for millions of dollars. And I think very few of them are restored because they're just so valuable in the natural condition. And so I want other cards to be like that. I don't want to take the chance to restore. The man in the house.